It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, the second day of the first full week of the month of March 2018 is underway. It is, in fact, the sixth day of March 2018. This is The Horn, headonradionetwork.com and headon.live are where we live. That, of course, is where you go if you'd like to jump into the chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and hop right in where you'll be immediately greeted by the likes of Anatole and Hoghead and VT Blom and more to follow because we don't have a tardy bell or anything. And there are no, you know, nobody has to stand in the corner for not being here at exactly the beginning of the program. And, of course, all moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space once again to become Man Cave. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And now that that's out of the way, we can, there's just a little checklist we have to go through. Who, you know, or else I get emails saying, hey, who are you? You know, because people look after me here. Of course, the first thing that I try to make sure that we do every evening is thank our subscribers. And we have subscribers to thank this evening. Several of them, as a matter of fact. Thanks go out to Chris in Germany. Thank you very kindly to Kitty in Boston. Thank you, Kitty, for your subscription. Thank you very much to Laurel down in southwest Minnesota. Tries to remember southeast, southwest, south something, but I'm pretty southwest. Yeah. And thanks to Bob in North Carolina. Thank you very kindly. And thank you very kindly to Sal. Thank you. Sal's been with us for a very long time. Well, most of the people whose names you hear are people who have been sustaining subscribers for a very long time. And that is that's deeply gratifying because it means that we've got a lasting commitment to making sure that this program stays on the air. Thanks very much to Brock in PA. Thank you, Brock. And to Don in West Tennistan. Thank you very kindly to Kim in New Jersey and to Alex in New York. Thank you one and all. Your subscriptions make it possible for us to have, among other things, a week of fundraising-free radio at the end of the month. And that is deeply gratifying indeed. And of course, as always, if you're a new listener, if you don't know anything about the program, or if you're just somebody who listens and never kicked in or anything to help keep things on the air, and you are able to, that's critical, the "and you are able to" part. Well, being a subscriber is a great way to help keep things going. And, you know, at the $10 level, we're talking about a three-hour program that amounts to a contribution of about 48 cents. And like I've said before, I've wandered all over grocery stores and convenience stores and what have you, Dollar Generals, Dollar Trees, and there's not a lot of 48-cent stuff out there. So for 3 hours of, stress relief or stress or whatever it is, this is a pretty big bargain here. And it's there aren't a lot of things that compare with it in terms of value for very little money expended in your contribution. So thank you to all of our subscribers. If you'd like to be a subscriber, there are two ways to do it. There's a box that you can click on the PayPal interface through the websites. Or if you just can't stand, can't abide, despise, get absolutely apoplectic at the mere thought of PayPal, well, there's Patreon. There's a Patreon campaign. Patreon.com/Bob Kincaid. At this point in time, we don't quite have an entire day's funding with our Patreon subscribers. I think we've got like $164. So if you hate PayPal, that's what the Patreon campaign is there for. And it's easy. And those contributions all just come out on the first of the month. No matter what day of the month you sign up. So there's that. So thank you one and all. We will try to raise $200 this evening, like we do every evening, so that at the end of the month we'll have some fundraising free broadcasting. 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 58 at 25, 16 at 12, 50, 32 at 6 and a quarter, or of course 64 people at $3.13. And we round that half a penny up to 13 cents because we're not afraid of the number 13, and also because we put that half a penny into the fund that goes toward buying extremely expensive wax for the Maybach and pulling and scraping the Horn yacht hull and de-pigeoning the Gulfstream 5. That just goes toward general maintenance, that half penny. So, anyway, we've gotten that all out of the way. I wanted to make sure that I shared something with you this evening because, we get the program started quite often with This Day in Horn History. Damn, I think the cats have been on the board again. That was kind of loud. Sorry about that. We start out with something like that, and this is a very special day. Yes, the research department has sent in some basic information that, I wasn't aware of. Today's edition of This Day in Nutraceuticals History is brought to you by our peripatetic periodontic band of lab coat wearing pseudoscientific friends at Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter, in conjunction with the Coen brothers. For today's edition, we're dialing the clock back 7,305 days. Yes, 20 years. 8 whole years before the horn was a twinkle in Bob's eye. All the way back to March the 6th of when? That's right, 1998. Friends, let me ask you this. I have a question for you. Do you suffer from male pattern erectile dysfunction? Are you broke and can't make your rent on time every month? Does everything in life remind you of your buddies dying face down in the muck back in Nam? Do you live in constant fear of German nihilists wanting to cut off your Johnson? Has darkness washed over your life, darker and black steers look us on a moonless prairie night? Do you live with illusions of an old Western push-broom mustache-wearing cowboy dispensing sage advice at critical moments in life? Do you wish you could? Does hearing the knowledge word vagina or vaginal make you uncomfortable? Do your friends randomly flash their piece out on the lanes during a league game? Are you in the running for the laziest male in the greater Los Angeles county? Do you inherently have a problem rolling on Shomer fucking Chavez even in an emergency situation? Do you have emotional problems beyond pacifism despite our current situation with the camel fucker in Iraq? Have you been ordered to go door-to-door in your new neighborhood and inform your neighbors that you're a pederast? Does your wife owe you money all over town, including to known pornographers? Well, have no fear, gentle listener. In commemoration of the 20th anniversary of the Coen Brothers cult classic Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter, is proud to introduce our latest in a lineup of maximally adequate bullshit nutritional supplements, the Fig Lemon Skin. Yes, the Fig Lemon Skin. Do we need reverb for that? The Fig Lemon Skin. Right. Mm-hmm. The Fig Lemon Skin is handcrafted from the carefully ground up powder of Southern California tumbling tumbleweed mixed with white Russian narcissus extract. The Fig Lemon Skin is also fortified with pork rind goodness. That would be the original strength pork rind goodness, not the synthetically manufactured compromise second draft pork rind goodness. See, the beauty of the nutritional supplement is in its simplicity. Once a nutritional supplement gets complex, everything gets fucked up. It's a Swiss fucking watch if we understand it correctly. The Fig Lemon Skin is endorsed by world-renowned video artist Knox Harrington and is tested to the highest rigorous standards as purported by Brother Seamus. The Fig Lemon Skin is also guaranteed to help you help your special lady friend conceive. The Fig Lemon Skin comes in capsule form as well as subcutaneous injection. You can also mix it with coffee, liquor, and cream for a delightfully refreshing beverage. Be that first thing out of bed in the morning or right before going on air for the Titanic Tuesday edition of your radio program. Hell, you could be sipping on that refreshing beverage in the back of a Brooke Dick limousine right before being dragged off into the ether by your antagonist's goons. Order today and we'll ship your order with two sets of free Creedence vinyl records and a free bundle of credulity strips so you can demonstrate to yourself the efficacy of the Fig Lemon Skin while listening to the dulcet tones of Mr. John Fogerty himself. Used properly, the credulity strips will demonstrate that the Fig Lemon Skin is more pathetic at its intended purpose than Edward Scissorhands botching an octomom abortion. Best place your order today, though, because if you don't, our Horn Labs thugs will show up at your apartment, pee on your oriental rug while yelling, "This aggression will not stand, man!" In order to celebrate this 20th anniversary occasion, we're offering throwback pricing on the Fig Lemon Skin for only three hand-drawn checks of 69 cents at the register. You could be the proud owner of a gallon jug of the Fig Lemon Skin. By Krepthar's hammer, what a savings. As a bonus, you can use the empty jug as a decorative item. It really ties the room together. Accept no substitutes. Throw a ringer for a ringer. This side up, FOBCODLEBOWSKI, the Fig Lemon Skin. Only from Horn Labs. Yes, yes, indeed. Silent R. Lamar telling me, "Cool, I ran out of test strips." Well, there's no time like the present to re-up, Silent R. Lamar. No, none whatsoever. And so there you have it. 13 minutes past the hour, and we are ready to get into the program this evening. This was another one of those days when everything sort of went out the window at the right before the beginning of the program. What with Gary Cohn, the alleged chief economic advisor. There is nobody can advise the Gotham Gump. Okay? Nobody. Nobody can suggest that he doesn't know exactly the right thing to do at any given moment in time, because he is, well, he is the Nectarine Nero. But because of the trade war that Mar-a-Lago Mussolini keeps saying that he wants to get started here right quick, probably right after the Western Pennsylvania election next week, or whenever it is. Gary Cohn bailed out. Heard his mama calling. The dog ate his official certificate suitable for framing that said he was the chief economic advisor. Whatever. He's leaving. And that just grabbed all of the... It sucked all the oxygen right out of the room. I imagine people are blathering about it even as we speak, just like I am. But that's not really where I want to go. I want to offer up instead an object lesson in the perfidy of Republican ideas of governance. You may have seen in your feeds coming through today news that the West Virginia teachers' strike is over. Mm-hmm. And it is, because after a day that can only be described as not zany, not wacky, not madcap, harried, a harried day. Well, this afternoon, based upon action taken by both the West Virginia Republican-controlled House of Delegates and the West Virginia Republican-controlled Senate, Governor Jim Kunta Kinte Justice finally signed a 5% pay raise for the teachers in this state and all school personnel, teachers, school personnel, and state troopers. Yeah, everybody gets a 5% raise. You get a raise. You get a raise. You get a raise. You get a raise. I'm not taking anything away from the determined efforts of the teachers in enforcing this to happen. No, not at all. That is not my point. They showed tremendous courage, heroism, and determination in their efforts to improve their lot, at least marginally, in this beat-up state. So the bill got signed this afternoon after a conference committee between the Senate and the West Virginia House said that, no, they would not impose... Well, back up. The teachers... The teachers get their raise. That's the important part. There's absolutely no fix whatsoever to the Public Employees Insurance Agency, PEIA, although Governor Jim Kunta Kinte Justice has set up a commission that'll start looking at that right hard next week, I promise. Mm-hmm. Yeah, here's the problem. Republicans, being Republicans, and being fiscal conservatives, have said okay to the teacher pay raise but it comes at a cost, because the Republicans were hell-bent on the idea that they were not going to let the teachers have anything that they could refer to as a pure win. Now, a lot of the news coverage you'll hear, I heard it, for instance, on National Petroleum Radio a little bit ago, we'll simply do a 10-second reader saying, the West Virginia teachers have prevailed in their strike and they're going to get their raise, which is factually correct. But there's always a question of at what cost. Well, there's going to be a $20 million gouge taken out of the general services budget. Senate Finance Chairman Craig Blair, a Repiglican from Berkeley County, not Beckley, Berkeley County, over in the Eastern Panhandle, said it would occasion very deep cuts to the budget.
There's going to be some pain because with this we have not agreed, nor or we will not be using any of the $58 million of the governor's revenue estimates.
Initially, it was reported that there would be $20 million in cuts to the general services budget and to, wait for it, Medicaid. That appears to have gone away, but that is what Representative Blair said, or Senator Blair said at the outset, because golly Moses, there's nothing, well, maybe something, but we don't know what it is, nothing that a Republican despises more than poor people getting to go to the doctor when they're sick. But apparently it all got hammered out, and here's the list of what's getting slashed in order to pay for this pay raise. Proposed cuts of $46 million from commerce and tourism, $18 million from general services, $7 million from community and technical colleges. That was the free tuition bill. We were going to have free tuition for people wanting to go to community and technical college. $14 million will be hacked out of lottery revenues. Yeah, one of the big pitches for having a lottery in this and any other state is that it benefits seniors and veterans. Well, I guess we'll find out whether it still does. $12 million in highway funding transfer, and $13.5 million will come from workers' comp redirection. At least as of this broadcast, it does not appear that the Republicans are going to get their fondest wish and be able to gouge the living bejesus out of Medicaid, because after all, Medicaid is not a block grant. And you can't just do with it as you please, as you can a block grant. And so I applaud the teachers in West Virginia. I applaud them for the courage that it took to stand up and demand a semblance of human dignity. But I would be remiss if I did not note that the way this raise is being paid for stinks unto the nostrils of the Almighty, as the saying goes. Well, that'd be fun, Silent R. Lamar pointing out. Only if the Republicans pay them, you know, from a lotto. I think the Republicans should be, well, here's your pay. Here's one free lottery ticket for every day. Never mind, that's petty and tawdry. But let's understand some alternatives. You know, Jim and I had an interesting conversation last night, followed by something, some things that Scott offered up. Coal is not doing great here, but it is still happening. That's why it's so damnably annoying every time you hear somebody on our side of the aisle, coal is dead. Representative Ted Lieu of California, a man whom I respect, for instance, every so often posts a tweet about how coal is over and coal is done. And I almost feel compelled to respond that it's not. But anyway, regardless. Severance, increasing taxation on coal? Well, it wouldn't have done the coal industry any harm. And you know what else wouldn't do any harm?
increasing the taxation on fracking. Because while we're told that the coal industry is struggling, the fracking industry is, shall we say, shitting in high cotton. And if we had a responsible government, but why do I continue? If we had a responsible state government, the teacher's pay raise would have been paid for out of the natural resource extraction because, among other things, that is wealth that belongs to all West Virginians and in which the profit from which all West Virginians should participate. But no. No, there will be no tax increases on the industry that owns the Republicans and no small number of Democrats in the state legislature. The other thing that's not going to happen, the other thing that would have made it possible to pay the teachers a living wage and all the state personnel and fix PEIA all at the same time, without raising taxes on anybody, the other thing, you know, the so-called Colorado solution, the legalization of recreational cannabis. And I always feel a little bit funny talking about legalized cannabis because I'm of a certain generation where it makes me feel like I'm saying that, you know, I personally want to just sit around and live a life of indolent leisure, rolling up a fatty and smoking 8 or 10 or 12 or 20 or however many doobies a day. Well, the fact that I just said doobies marks me as of a certain age. I'm sorry, a blunt. No, not a blunt, because I think the idea of wrapping cannabis with a piece of shitty tobacco product is about the stupidest thing you could never mind. But I love the way that practice kind of got its hooks into the culture. You know, the tobacco industry. They're doing what? They're cutting open a Philly's blunt, and they're using the wrapper to roll up their marijuana cigarettes. Well, why don't they just use paper? Oh, the paper's not big enough. Oh. Well, now, well, we'll just start making wrappers alone out of our tobacco, and that way, we can get kids hooked on nicotine at the same time they're smoking their marijuanas. The marijuana ain't addictive, but the nicotine sure is. Mm-hmm. But that's not my point. If there is any area in which I can ever be accused of having any strain of libertarianism, drugs is probably it, and particularly cannabis. If one may make an informed choice as to whether or not to drink alcohol, smoke cigarettes, drink coffee, or any number of other activities, why people are not allowed to make a personal choice to use a perfectly natural, mostly harmless, non-addictive, nobody ever OD'd on it, weed. Well, that's beyond me. But we are smack dab in the middle of the Bible Belt, and I'm sure that the preachers don't want people getting all blasted on the marijuanas. And as the prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, once remarked, getting his third eye, he was talking about acid though, but getting his third eye squeaky clean. Because then, well, attendance might fall off there in the church if you figure out that, you know, we're all just on a, well, hey, go listen to the Bill Hicks bit. But a Republican can't do that because a Republican is somehow constitutionally required to hurt people. If somebody, everything to a Republican is a zero-sum game.
If one group gets something, somebody else has to have something taken away. It's not really the way of the world. But it's the way Republicans view the world. So, there it is. And look, maybe other programs will point this out. If they do, great. But I did not want it to go without notice that, and look, what position were the teachers in? That they said, no, that's not appropriate. We're going to stay out until you give us the raise the right way. Well, you couldn't expect them to do that. Their demand was a raise and a fix to PEIA. They got the raise. And they got a promise from Jim Justice, Kunta Kinte Justice, who incidentally could have gone a long way towards solving this problem all by his, or at least, you know, part of the way, by just paying his own fucking taxes. The governor of the state of West Virginia remains deeply in the hole via his coal companies in terms of taxes owed the state. Oh, really? He does. Won't pay him. Just kind of stiffen the government, stiffen the state that he presumes to govern. So there you go. That's where we are. And so free community college, technical college tuition. Right. The one thing that has a hope of leading us into some sort of future after the absolute and final collapse of the hydrocarbon industries, tourism, that's going to take it on the chin. General services, $18 million. The things that actually make government go. The boring part of government that you don't hear much about unless it doesn't work. And then all of a sudden you, hey, wait a minute, why don't we have enough money for general services? Oh. You know what the most sickening part of all of this is going to be? The political ads that will surely begin to roll in fairly short order. Huh. I'm Billy Bob Thumbbutt, running for re-election in the 92nd Senatorial District of West Virginia. I love God and guns. I go to church every time they open the doors there. Jesus is my favorite philosopher. And I'm running for re-election, and I want your vote come election day. I need it. Because we got to have strong leadership in the state of West Virginia. And you know what? I want the teachers out there to know that I was right there with them all along. They wouldn't have that raise if it wasn't for me. My vote was absolutely necessary to make sure that the teachers got the pay raise that they so desperately needed and certainly deserved. So vote for me. Billy Bob Thumbbutt, Republican friend of Jesus and teachers, on Election Day. I'm Billy Bob Thumbbutt, and I approve this year's message, because I loves me some teachers and Jesus. And I don't want to hear nothing about no gay people, nor no dark-skinned nobodies, nor nothing else. And them lives don't matter no how. You gotta keep me in office so we can make sure that the communist liberal tree huggers don't impose no taxes on the people who really pay my salary. What you just heard
is about every political ad that's going to run for a state office in this state between now and November. And it's going to be sickening. But the Republicans were desperate to defuse the situation before it really built into something that had that ran a risk of doing them political harm. Because I want to make something abundantly clear. It's not like the 20,000 teachers in West Virginia are all Bernie-crats or Democrats of any sort. They're probably as evenly split as anybody else. Probably got some of those independents. Might even have a wee tiny little handful of Mountain Party greenies. But the unity that they showed in this pay raise struggle somehow or another needs to manage to hang around till November. And on the other hand, the Republicans will message for all they're worth, well, we're sorry we ain't got enough money to change the oil in the Department of Health and Human Services vehicles we use to go and send CPS workers to check on abused children. Why don't you just take that up with the teachers? We wouldn't have had to cut that budget if it wasn't for them. See how it works? What? You thought the lottery was supposed to go to seniors? Take that up with the teachers. We had to give them your lottery money, senior citizens. Because they wouldn't go back to the classroom till they got a great big old whopping pay raise of 5% on top of $30,000. They wouldn't go back to the classroom till they got $1,500. It's already started, and it's well on the way. For instance, I give you a jerk. See, that's not gendered. I give you a jerk by the name of Mark A. Sad, who published an op-ed. Do your job, a public school teacher screamed at lawmakers. Irony was not in last week's lesson plan. Perhaps she had taken the Hippocratic oath, do no work. While she was giving instruction to legislators, she herself had been absent from her classroom for more than a week, not giving instruction to her students, all with pay. Joining her were thousands of colleagues who decamped to the state house in search of blood from turnips. They daily roamed the hallways, threaded the portals, and filled the Capitol's neighboring fast food restaurants during downtimes. Jesus Christ. Mark Sad is a lawyer in Charleston. The title of this op-ed piece is, Oh, the Children, Stage Props of the Strike. Meanwhile, somebody had to keep the economy going. West Virginia's other working families every day of this strike met at their offices, shops, and factories to show their support for their jobs, actually entitling them to their paychecks. That was not the rule in West Virginia's public schools in this ordeal.
This is... The children became the stage props they naturally were born to be. To invoke them is like to invoke springtime, mother's milk, and Chevrolet. Oh, the children, our obligation and our joy. So then what of them? The historian Edward Gibbon recalled an 18th-century high official who had lost his way in serving the children to whom he had been appointed. He well remembered that he had a salary to receive and only forgot that he had a duty to perform. I got a pretty good idea how Mark Sad would like to support the children. Serve the children. On a platter, with apples stuck in their mouths. What are you eating there, Mark? Baby. Baby what? Baby! Fucking right-wingers. The public school unions remained desperate to regain controlling interest in the House of Delegates of the Senate, which they once had held at fiscal knife point for decades. Really? They held them at fiscal knife point, did they, Mark, old boy? That's funny. I wonder how do you hold a legislature at fiscal knife point and at the same time wind up the 48th most poorly paid teachers in the United States? Bet you old Mark wouldn't work for any $30,000 fucking dollars a year. No, hell no. 'Cause he earns his money. Pettifogging, well, you get the idea. Meanwhile, another little bit of dirty business, just to give you an idea of what life is like around here. Oh, gosh, we should be talking about Gary Cohn, shouldn't we? No, we're going to take a few minutes for this, if that's okay with you. Wait, quick email. Note coming in from Steve in New York. The way I see it, after seeing that gelatinous blob, Governor Jim Justice, at the town hall the other day, I suspect you could fund the entire budget by asking the Gov to give up one meal every other day for a year. Now, Steve, let's not have any fat shaming. Let's just have some Jim Justice shaming. Because he is a shameful bastard. Now, one other thing, and by the way, if it hasn't gotten to a state near you, unless you're in a civilized state like California, Oregon, Washington, Massachusetts, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Rhode Island, maybe, if you're in a stand state, this thing will probably find its way to you too. So you might want to pay attention, even though it's just little old miserable, no-account pissant West Virginia. Sorry, it's Titanic Tuesday, and I've got a Titanic headache and a Titanic bad attitude. Not at y'all. It's just that we can't have anything without something else being taken away. So, thanks to the action of the Republican legislature, both houses, a constitutional amendment will appear on the November general election ballot here. It took more than two-thirds of the membership of the West Virginia House of Delegates to pass this, but they managed to get the two-thirds in there. Again, let's point this out, with some Democrats, and I helped. You know, because Jesus. Because of the precious little fetuses. The following statement will be on the ballot in November in a Bible Belt Jesus state. Nothing in this Constitution secures or protects a right to abortion or requires the funding of abortion. Made it out of the legislature. It's going on the ballot.
the people of this state are going to be allowed to vote on the constitutional rights of an entire, well, of fully half of the pop or more of the population of this state. I can't wait. If you can put a woman's right to abortion on the ballot as a constitutional amendment, what's to stop from doing others? Nothing in this Constitution secures or protects the right to equal access to facilities or services by a Negro. Because that's what they're saying. Nothing in this Constitution secures or protects the right of a woman to make decisions about the workings of her own body. Nothing in this Constitution secures or protects a woman's constitutional right under the United States Constitution. This thing is going to go headlong at a woman's right to choose. In the House, it passed 73-25. Here, just for the fun of it, you won't recognize any of their names, but they deserve to be said. Here are the names of the quisling Democrats who shit on the rights of women in this state. Brent Boggs, Democrat of Braxton County. Andrew Byrd, Democrat, Kanawha County. Kenneth Hicks, Democrat of Wayne County. Shirley Love, Democrat of Fayette County. The man is 900 years old. Chad Lovejoy, Democrat of Cabell County. Dana Lynch, Democrat of Webster. Ricky Moore, Democrat of Raleigh. Ralph Ruggiero, Democrat of Logan. And Robert Thompson, Democrat of Wayne. Now, organizations dedicated to a woman's right to choose say that they're going to bust their asses between now and November to help people understand what's at stake if they vote in favor of that little miserable sentence. Meanwhile, the West Virginians for Life and National Right to Life have enough money to burn a sopping wet herd of wet elephants with sopping wet $100 bills. And they will outspend anything that WV Free can muster up. See, what's got them all worked up is the fact that, and they've been worked up, but see that the fetus fetishists have the bit in their teeth. And they're convinced that if just one more justice, one of ours, and they do their imprecatory prayer over it every day, if, say, Breyer or Sotomayor or Ginsburg or, missing one, will just drop dead, then they know that Geezer Disgustus will appoint somebody that will appoint another nominee who will again make fat dead Tony Scalia look like Earl freaking Warren. And you know what? They're right. They really are. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Stephen Breyer, Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan. Sorry, Justice Kagan, I forgot you. That's my bad. On the other hand, there's Ann's boy Neil, Sammy Bad Breath Alito, Slappy Thomas, the Kennedy Kid, and Dead-Eyed John Roberts. One more, and they know that they can overturn Roe versus Wade, and probably in the process, overturn Griswold. Griswold is what really has to go. We've talked about this in the past. The constitutional right to privacy is ultimately the goal of these Taliban Christians and fetus fetishists. Because they really do have a vile authoritarian streak. And they, for all their talk of small government, they yearn more than anything else they yearn for in life. They yearn, they ache, they burn to be able to inject government into people's bedrooms and into women's uteri. They spend vast amounts of money on it. The money that gets spent on the fetus fetish movement could probably provide food and health care for every baby born into poverty in the United States, but they don't matter. Fetuses matter. And then as quick as they're not fetuses anymore, well, they don't. And that's just how it is. Yes, Bill, you did hear me correctly. That list of Democratic names in the West Virginia House of Delegates. Did I hear you right? There's no woman's name in the list of spineless Democrats? Right, there isn't. But here's the other thing. There are women, and make no mistake, I wish I was telling you something not true. But in this state, women will probably run to the polls to take their own rights away. If only the Republicans would give them a chance to take away their right to vote, my goodness, they wouldn't even have to run to the polls anymore. And all those men folk could just do as Jesus intended and make the decisions for them. Right? Yeah. It's going to be an interesting year. So, well, like I said, this state is and long has been the canary in the national coal mine. And what they get and what Republicans get away with here, they can get away with elsewhere. That's me, Bob Kincaid, little ray of sunshine. But realistically, what do you do? What do you do with those 12 male alleged Democrats in this state? Do you vote for the Republican alternative? I mean, if I farted sparkle dust and lived on moonshine and love, I'd say, well, vote third party, why don't you? They're not going to elect any candidates. And so the only hope is to have the only hope is to have some sort of meaningful primary challenge. And I can't sit here and tell you that all of those white men are going to have that. And again, this being West Virginia, there's no guarantee that having a woman primarying the guy would indicate a different position, unless clearly stated. In a place like West Virginia, we have a proud, progressive past. I could start naming names. It would be a long list. But the problem is, it's the past. And that generation is dead and gone. And so we find ourselves in that Mother Jones space. Oh, there's one of them now, Mother Jones. Pray for the dead, fight like hell for the living. So, you'll forgive me if I'm not particularly tickled pink about the victory that the teachers won today. Don't get me wrong. I'm as happy as I can possibly be that they're going to get a badly needed, much deserved raise. But it feels an awful lot like the law of unintended consequences kicked not only their asses, but a lot of people in West Virginia. I guess we'll have to wait and see. Remains, I mean, that's all it is. So we'll take a break. We're an hour into the program now. Again, I'll mention we try to raise $200 every evening. Which is, well, when you consider how long we've been on air here and for how little, it's pretty amazing. But we are at zero. Just R. I'll open the lines. There's other stuff to talk about, like the Texas primary today that apparently has Republicans scared half out of their wits. Young people standing in line to vote in lines that that they've had to stand in for in excess of one, two, and more hours to cast their vote. Yeah. That's a soft form of voter suppression. The Attorney General of Texas having a bit of a conniption. It being the Tuesday, we've got the Green News Report coming up from Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. I always enjoy that. Phone numbers, of course. Well, 304-574-8178. Toll free from anywhere on the planet, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. That'll get you, it all comes into the same box, but that's how it works. And then from anywhere on planet Earth, Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. Sorry for the slowness here, but I'm trying to get a damn song to load. So that we'll have a little bumper. Might take a minute. Okay, here we go. I think it's going to work now. This is listener-supported conversation radio. Sometimes we have things like this because, you know, it's a staff of one. But anyway, we'll be back. Got something on your mind? Bring it to the program. I'm Bob.
Apple red, ringing you every day, begging for a word of praise. I put aside my foolish games, I run and hide and call her names. School's out, bells will ring, now's the time. I can't learn it fast enough. Teacher, teacher, teacher.
It's Tuesday, March 6, 2018.
These metals are used in energy infrastructure build-out. Higher costs would hurt the energy companies.
Oil and gas industry slams Donald Trump's proposed steel tariffs. Boston hit with historic flooding for second time in a month, with more on the way. Toxic coal ash is contaminating groundwater supplies near coal plants. Plus, plastic pollution has reached all the way up to the Arctic.
All of those fantastic news stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
CO2 is a benign gas required for life on Earth and is not dirty.
Wow. Former coal exec Fred Palmer couldn't say anything dumber.
Coal is not dirty. Coal is green.
I stand corrected. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, the East Coast, specifically Boston, has been getting slammed, and it's going to be getting slammed again in just a day or two.
Yes, it is. Over the weekend, Boston was hit by the second 100-year storm in 1 month. The intense nor'easter left 8 people dead and brought hurricane-force winds and flooding to coastal communities along the northeastern seaboard. The storm surge in Boston was the third highest ever recorded, and that happened just weeks after a previous storm broke downtown Boston's all-time flood record. The Boston Globe connected the climate dots with this double whammy of rising seas and frequent intense storms that increase risks for coastal communities. Quote, the spectacle of seawater swamping coastal communities once again raised concerns about how these heavily developed areas will endure rising sea levels caused by climate change, a preview of the extreme flooding the city can expect in the years ahead.
In the years ahead, at this point, it's the days ahead.
Indeed. Meanwhile, the oil and gas industry has slammed President Trump's surprise proposal to impose major tariffs on imported steel and aluminum.
Surprise!
Going so far as to call them job-killing tariffs, saying those steel tariffs would increase costs at every stage of operations, from drilling to pipelines to refineries, and would result in higher prices for consumers.
Wow, he's actually going to harm his own base in the oil and gas industries? Is he crazy? No, don't answer that.
But it's not just the fossil fuel industry. The American Wind Energy Association also said that the proposed tariffs would increase the cost of wind energy infrastructure projects, particularly costs for domestic wind turbine manufacturers.
Well, that's just a bonus for Trump.
Trump's tariffs also risk a global trade war. European Commission Chief Jean-Claude Juncker did not mince words.
So now we will also impose import tariffs, he said in Hamburg. This is basically a stupid process, the fact that we have to do this, but we have to do it. We'll now impose tariffs on motorcycles, Harley Davidson, on blue jeans, Levi's, on bourbon. We can also do stupid. We also have to be this stupid.
It's turning into World War Stupid.
Meanwhile, coal ash waste is polluting groundwater supplies at coal-fired power plants across the country. Coal ash is the toxic sludge left behind after burning coal for electricity. We make 100 million tons of it a year, and it's often stored in unlined pits. According to a new Associated Press analysis of data released by utilities, groundwater is now contaminated with elevated levels of toxic pollutants like arsenic and radium near more than 70 coal-fired power plants and coal ash disposal sites around the country.
This is going very well.
The AP analysis of groundwater contamination data came out just one day after the Trump EPA announced it plans to weaken regulations on coal ash disposal.
Of course.
Scientists at the National University of Ireland, Galway, have now confirmed that our plastic pollution has reached deep into even the most remote parts of the northern Atlantic Ocean and is affecting marine life. The researchers found 73% of the deep-sea fish that they tested had ingested microplastics, tiny pieces of broken-down plastic found in their stomachs.
This is 73% of the fish. all the way up in the Arctic have plastic in them?
Yes.
Wow.
But Mumbai is taking action. India's biggest city is phasing in a ban on most types of single-use plastics, and that includes single-use plastic bags, disposable containers and utensils, and they're starting this month. And finally, Hawaii, a state with a $17 billion tourism industry and a persistent plastic pollution problem on its beaches and in its oceans, is moving to become the very first U.S. state to institute a statewide ban on polystyrene food containers.
Wow. Thank you, Hawaii. For all of those stories and more, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
In no drag, Papa's got a brand new bag. Come on. Hey, hey. Come on. Hey. Set you up tight. Come on.
How does James Brown not just perk you right up? I don't know about you, but it does me. 12 minutes after the hour on this Titanic Tuesday, the 6th of March, 2018. Got a little snow and snowy and cold weather coming, but it won't stick around much. My sympathies to the folks going to be hit by the next nor'easter up east. Stay warm, Kitty in Boston and Terry in Amherst, where only the H is silent. Stay warm indeed, and stay safe. Thanks very kindly to Charlene for jumping in and getting us started in fundraising for the evening. Thank you very kindly indeed. Now, with any luck at all, some other folks will jump in alongside Charlene and help us knock down the rest of the other $180 that we need for to keep from having a fundraising deficit and terrifying fundraising goals through the rest of the week. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you very, very kindly. If you're on the phone, and you are, stay there. Just a couple of things to take care of here. Note coming in from Scott and Punky, subject line options. If the people of West Virginia can't find a way to vote worthy Assembly, Senate, and gubernatorial candidates into office, they may need to look at the Jesus option. Pack your bags, get to the edge of town, wash them well, or curse them, and be sure to shake the dust off your feet as you head for someplace better. Remember, if one goes back far enough, they'll find that they were looking for more hospitable surroundings when they arrived in West Virginia. There are always better places and creative ways to avail oneself of getting to them. Oh, Scott, you do not want 1.5 million hillbillies descending on anywhere you like. No, what we actually need is a population infusion, because if everybody who isn't religiously insane and conservative and whatnot bails out of this state, it just leaves this region to more of its cruel fate. No, we need to improve this place. Land's cheap here, and it wouldn't take a lot to turn this government around and to turn this state around if we could just get the right people here. It's happened before. People came here for a reason back when, but it happened in the 70s, too. There was a back-to-the-land hippie movement. And lots of people came here. And a lot of them stayed. But that's what's needed. Let's fix this place. Not abandon it. And if you play your cards right, it's not so bad. Yeah, I talk a lot about mountaintop removal. I talk about it because it needs to be ended. And because this place is too nice to allow it to just be completely destroyed.
So that's the opposite side of that card. All right, let's run over to the phones and see who we've got up in the far reaches of Wisconsin. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. This is Scott from Wisconsin.
Hey, Scott.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. You?
Oh, not too bad. Yeah, you got a beautiful state. I've been there several times, and it's a wonderful state. Yeah, we got hillbillies here too. In fact, I'm probably one of them.
You know, just a different sort.
Yeah.
Me, I'm a big fan of the there's a thing on Facebook. Guy's just brilliant. Really, really funny.
Oh, the
Manitowoc Minute.
Yep. Yeah, I sent you a couple of them this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, I love them, Scott. I love them.
Yeah, he's a hoot.
The fact that it snowed on the Wisconsin flag in Afghanistan so it would feel at home. I laughed out loud at that.
Yeah, did you see the one with where he wants to change the Wisconsin flag?
No, I didn't see that one.
Oh, instead of having forward as the motto, it was keep her moving.
Yep. I could be down with that.
But yeah, he's a pretty good guy. He's a hoot.
Well, I'm awful glad you called. Anything in particular on your mind?
Oh, I don't know. Just a little bit of venting, I guess. I don't know. It's just I'm glad the teachers got something. But yeah, at what cost? It's Rob Peter to pay Paul, and the same people sit on alongside and just collect the wealth. It's just unbelievable. Just never fails, though.
Yeah, but you can. I was going to say you can recognize it though, because you've been through the long night of Scott Walker.
Oh yeah, he sat there, and you know, pretty soon it was, why should these guys get 3 months off and get paid this, and you're not getting this? Instead of asking, you know, why can't I have that too? You know, I mean, like when it comes to health insurance and vacations and stuff like that there, but oh no, we'd rather just take it away from somebody else instead of saying, why can't I have it too?
Yeah, because we wouldn't want to be making life good or trying to make life good for everybody, because well, somehow that violates their anarcho-capitalist Ayn Randian worldview.
Yeah, and you know, that happened before here too, with when Tommy Thompson took over about 20 years ago or better. Oh no, a long time, a lot longer ago than that. But when Tommy Thompson took over, that was one of the first things he did, was hit the teachers. That was I think the late 80s, early 90s when he took over. And, you know, everybody, oh, yeah, he's good for Wisconsin, and he just raked over on the teachers and the pensions and stuff like that. Yeah, just one little bit at a time, and then when they ask for a little bit of it back, it just, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you would have, the screaming could be heard from Minneapolis, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What? Money? You want money? More?
Ugh. Yeah, it's, you know, I sit here and, you know, I mean, I got a pretty simple philosophy on this whole deal. You know, my great-grandparents and grandparents and parents, you know, they built us pretty good communities, you know, churches, schools, roads, fire departments, police departments, gave us nice, safe communities, you know, roads, bridges, dams. All we had to do was maintain them. And our generation just seems to be just selfish and greedy. We, you know, it's already there. We've already had it, so we don't want to pass it along.
You know, I was reminded, I was thinking about Republicans today. God knows that's part of why I've got the headache I've got, Scott. But I was reminded, one of my favorite classic films is David Lean's Lawrence of Arabia. You know, Peter O'Toole's first feature role and everything. But there's a line where he gets all pissed off at Omar Sharif, and he's talking about the Arabic peoples of the time, and it's pretty bigoted. But by God, you can sure apply it. Apply it to Republicans. He says, they are a little people, greedy, barbarous, and cruel. Jesus, you could render greedy, barbarous, and cruel into Latin, and that'd be the motto of the GOP, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So if I may dare ask, what part of Wisconsin are you in?
I am Roxbury. It's South Central. It'd be about 30 miles west of Madison.
Oh, okay. Okay. I have a passing familiarity with that area. And you know I love your state, and I would love nothing more than to see it return to its past glories, because everything you just said is so true. There was an absolute statewide, it seems like statewide, determined effort to make Wisconsin a magnificent place, and they did. And there really were good roads and good schools, and my God, the University of Wisconsin system and the Wisconsin idea. And you can sort of say, well, you know, I know how Republicans are, so I know why they did what they did. But why wouldn't you want to keep the Wisconsin? It was a gem. It was a jewel in the nation's crown.
Yeah. I mean, we had good, you know, good jobs, high union. I'm a retired union carpenter. And, you know, it's like, well, I've worked both union and non-union. And, you know, all these guys that talk about, well, I can go in and get my own raises. Well, when I was working non-union, you'd go in and fight for a raise. You'd go in and, you know, we'll give you this, we'll give you this. And pretty soon you find out that they're hiring new guys making more money than what you are. And you've been there 5 years. And that's the way, you know, it's just, yeah, you can go in there and fight for your own raises and that, but you're not going to get very far. And then as you start slipping farther and farther behind, you go ask to get caught up and they just laugh at you.
Right, because you have no bargaining power. It's their way or the highway. You know, hit the road, bub.
And I think one of the biggest problems with Wisconsin right now, too, economically, is, well, that, you know, I was talking to a young kid here this weekend, and he's a farmer, and he loves farming. It's in his blood. Him and his dad are farming, and, you know, we've got farms going under, and, you know, these big dairies, they're starting to put their own herds in, so they're no longer taking milk. Well, if you're a dairy farmer, you ain't got a place to sell your milk, you're kind of screwed. And, you know, these guys, they said that we just lost, I believe he said, a 700-cow herd that just farm just went under here local. I mean, it's within, you know, 30 miles of us. But, you know, once you start losing them farmers, your communities start dying. And once your communities start dying, then any businesses in them communities start dying, and you know,
and pretty soon all the dominoes are down. I mean, we know a little bit about that process here in Appalachia. You know, I've mentioned my dear friend Bruce, who is no longer with us, who drove me all over Wisconsin on a few occasions, and he would point out those farms and say, now see Bob, see that Republican sign in his yard? He's a farmer and he's got two nickels to rub together, and he thinks he's a Republican. And
my father-in-law was like that.
Well, okay, you just validated everything that Bruce said. And there's no recognition that they tend to think that, you know, well, one of these days I'm going to be rich enough to be a Republican, and then, you know, then they'll talk to me and pretend like they like me and everything. And it doesn't work like that. And of course the other thing, and I don't know, you can tell me, is this getting any play in Wisconsin today? The fact that once Carotene Caligula's trade war gets going, that the European Union has said that they'll throw tariffs on Harley Davidson motorcycles, that's got to be real popular in Wisconsin, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, but I think they're in denial. Most of the stuff you get around here, everybody's kind of in denial about it. You know, like it don't affect me. I think that's the adage anymore. As long as it don't affect me directly, it doesn't matter. And, you know, I always call it the Mert rule. I used to work with a guy named Mert. And one day he come in into the shop, and, you know, he was just a grumbling up a storm because his neighbor was getting a new well. Well, where I live over here right across the river is Badger Army Ammunition Plant. And when they were doing the cleanup, they were finding a lot of, you know, nitrates and stuff like that there that were in, that was in the groundwater heading towards Wisconsin River. Well, so they were digging all these test wells, and they found out, and they were testing all the local wells, and they found out this guy had high levels of nitrates because of Badger ordinance. So he was getting a new well paid for by the federal government. Well, Mert was all upset because his neighbor was getting a well and he wasn't. And Shorty, being a smart act, you know, he just, well, Mert, you know, apply for a new well. He goes, well, I don't need a new well. I got good water. But he was just complaining because that guy was getting a well and he wasn't. You know, and that's how people are.
Well, that's certainly the Republican divide and conquer strategy of the last 25, 30, 40 years. Not everybody should be able to make what those union workers are making, but rather we've got to drag those union workers down so that they're wallowing in shit with the rest of us.
Right.
How is that an idea that leads to a viable or growing economy or any or anything resembling community?
Well, yeah. Well, and that's like a lot of these people, you know, these, of course, you know, right away they go with the SNAP and, you know, the welfare recipients. And
those people want to eat food, the nerve of them.
Well, my grandmother, my grandpa died when he was pretty young. He was 60 years old. And my grandma, you know, she got those food commodities. You know, and I remember taking, you know, mom would buy pork chops and would take, you know, food up to grandma so she had some meat. You know, it's a ridiculous way to live. But, you know, the thing is, they don't realize that when that SNAP goes away, then these people stop shopping in local grocery stores too. And then all of a sudden, we don't need 3 grocery stores anymore. We only need 2. And people quit living in houses and people quit building houses. Well, there goes carpenter jobs. You know, it's a slippery slope from the bottom up.
Right, and that's the concept of we're all in this together versus we're all rugged individualists. Rugged individualists don't get very far.
Yeah, you know, yeah, they want us to pull up by bootstraps, but they take away our boots.
Yeah. Yeah, what happened to my bootstraps? And the rising tide lifts all boats except the ones that have had holes drilled in the bottom of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Scott, I'm awful glad you called, and I hope you'll call again. I was inspired by that one video. I want to try me some goat yoga.
Yeah, I'll keep them coming when they pop up. They were coming up every week, and then pretty soon they just kind of slowed down. But he's on the road right now doing shows, so they'll probably pop up again once he gets slow.
Well, the little detail that I caught along the way was that he's a fan of New Glarus beer.
Oh, yeah, the Spotted Cow.
Oh, yeah. I'll say what I've said many times before. I want to do a remake of Smokey and the Bandit, only I want to bring a truckload of Spotted Cow to West Virginia, and probably
my son likes the Moon Man.
My experience is limited pretty much to Spotted Cow, but damn, I did get to try 2 or 3 others, and they were all exquisite.
Yeah, they make pretty good beer.
Well, there's a lot of good beer to be had up there, but that's that particular brewery's special because it's kind of a co-op, isn't it? Or and they try to do things sustainably and ecologically soundly, and there's a lot, and it's just damn good beer. They made a cherry lambic style that came in like a champagne bottle. We had a bottle that sat around here for the longest time, and I finally chilled it and opened it, and it was just amazing. mighty good stuff. Well, listen, like I said, thanks again for calling. Don't be a stranger. I'll look forward to hearing from you again, Scott.
All righty, man. Hey, you take care.
All right, you too. And, hey, yep, spring will get there someday, won't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and the fish. You know, I would send you some walleye, except for I got a problem with fishing. I love the fish. Don't get me wrong. I love the fish.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, it seems like as soon as I pull up to the lake, the fish get in their U-hauls and leave. You know, it's my brother, he shows up, he rattles the tackle box, the fish jump in the boat. I show up, and they leave. I just don't get it. We can sit in the same boat, fish with the same bait, and he's reeling them in, and they just ignore me.
That's disturbing. Maybe it's something. Maybe you need to do a couple of Hail Marys before you throw the bait in.
Well, I even tried what my grandpa Johnson throw a little Copenhagen and spit on the bait. You know, that's what he used to tell us when we were kids. That turned us green for a couple of while.
Yeah, I'll bet it would. Well, if you have any luck, let me know. You take care, Scott.
Alrighty, man. You take care.
Bye now. Scott calling from Wisconsin. That was delightful. And let's keep things moving on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, first time caller.
Oh, yay. Wait a minute. Let's get you a cowbell for that.
Okay. My first cowbell. Wonderful. Yeah. I was just commenting, thinking about something I've heard you say when you're talking about the fetus fetishes, that they don't care once the child's born.
They absolutely don't, yeah.
They don't. But that was by design. That's not a coincidence.
Oh no, it's not coincidental at all. This is just plain ugly power politics. And can I just have a first name for the sake of, you know?
I'm Marcia.
Okay, Marcia, great, thank you. No, it's baked in.
Well, you see, I'm an old person. I remember life before Roe versus Wade, and back then there were lots of babies being born. I mean, everybody was supposed to stay virgin till married and all that other stuff, but it didn't seem to work out real well. And so the stigma was so much about being unmarried and pregnant that a girl had two choices, either convince her boyfriend to marry her or put the baby up for adoption. And the stigma wasn't just on the girl. It was for the whole family because, well, you know, if she'd been watching that daughter of hers, things like this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, those are trashy people, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so there were a lot of babies put up for adoption. There was a saying that if you want to do your own, make your own baby, it's going to take 9 months. But if you're willing to settle for an adopted baby, it'll be 6 months. And so there were a lot of, and these are white newborns, which
is
what the Christian crowd wants before Roe versus Wade. And you see, since Roe versus Wade, and some society changes where girls keep their babies, there aren't that many available. And you see, they want the stigma back too. They don't just want to ban abortion; they want to put the stigma back because they want these babies up for adoption. So the good white Christian couples are not going overseas and getting those foreign brown babies and black babies,
you know,
and all those.
Marcia, I'm glad you. I had never thought of it in those terms, but I think there's probably a lot of truth in what you say, because as you were speaking, I was thinking back not too far in the past to a time when Newt Gingrich was saying what we need to do is get rid of abortion and build lots of orphanages.
Yeah.
And then of course, I mean, you know, we don't just have to rely on our own history here. Are you familiar with the horrors of the Magdalen laundries in Ireland?
I read some of it, yeah.
It's some of the most heartbreaking stuff I've ever read in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this, you know, and these brutalities and, you know, outright neglect unto death and working to death and babies buried in septic tanks, you know. That was all done under the auspices of Holy Mother Church.
Mm-hmm. And you see, that way we could get rid of foreign adoption. and keep America white. Because, you see, we're getting a lot of people from other countries that aren't white into this country through foreign adoption, because these kids somehow seem to think once they've lived in this country that they're somehow American, you know. And I remember, you know, remember when China started their one-child rule, and all of a sudden there are all these baby girls that are being discarded.
Right.
And I remember, you know, people thought it was so noble Americans are going to adopt these poor little Chinese girls. And then in the next breath, I hear them say, and when they get old enough to get married, they're going to go back to China and marry their own kind.
Oh, my God. Well, you know,
and
sort
you see,
of.
They didn't.
You know, of course, but right.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, like, they would think that they were adopted before they even spoke Chinese. They were infants. They've been in American schools, raised in probably middle class or upper middle class American homes, and they're going to go back to China to marry a day laborer and be a caregiver for his aging parents. Yeah, right, every girl's dream.
And why wouldn't it be, exactly?
Yeah.
Well, I noticed in addition to this nasty little constitutional amendment that we'll have on our ballot here in West Virginia in November, down in Mississippi, their state senate there, by a vote of 35-14, just passed an abortion ban that applies to anything after 15 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah. I know this is going to sound a little, well, I mean, I'm a guy, but it's not like there's a neon light on the uterus or anything. Pregnant now.
Yeah.
And when you couple this with the distances that have to be traveled and stay overnight and all of that baloney, what they're getting at is making it functionally impossible to get an abortion.
Absolutely, yeah. And you see, and now, I grew up, like I said, before Roe versus Wade. I graduated from high school in 1966.
Okay.
And, of course, they didn't have any sex education in the schools. And so there were all kinds of theories about how you could end a pregnancy. And so I imagine that depending on what age the young girl or young woman is, she'll probably try that for the first 4 or 5 months, and then it's too late, you know, because there were things like, Ex-Lax will clean you out. And so there were girls thinking, they didn't know their own anatomy to think that Ex-Lax would take care of a pregnancy. But and then there was the theory that if you jump off a table and land flat-footed, that will jar it loose. And,
Because there's a vine growing up there, right?
Right, and the impact of landing flat-footed with, you know, will shock everything inside and, you know, yeah. And, and then, of course, there was the way of preventing pregnancy of stand-up after sex because of gravity. And so when you work with that kind of a mentality, which I'm sure is the abstinence education that most of these kids are getting, they're not going to recognize that they're pregnant until...
Oh, no. It's possible to not know one is pregnant for months.
Yeah.
As opposed to any, missed a period or missed a couple.
Yeah.
Or especially for women who are active... athletes, people like that,
yeah.
who don't necessarily have regular cycles to begin with.
Yeah, and young besides.
Yeah. Young and deliberately made ignorant. Without a doubt, Marcia, without a doubt. May I ask, without any particularity, where you're calling from so I can just put a little push pin in my map?
Oh, Western Oregon.
Oh, okay, wonderful, wonderful. I'm awfully glad to hear from you. I hope this will not be your last call.
No, I just... thought I'd add that to the, because I've never heard anybody point out that this is racism. A lot of these abortion laws is because we want white babies because we don't want those people in our country. And That's part of why I think they were so upset about that Magnitsky Act when we stopped adopting Russian babies.
Oh, I think so, too. And bear in mind that the language will give them away from time to time as well.
Yeah.
If you think about, you remember back during the reign of error of Dim Leader, when they were giving federal money away, and long before anybody was calling anybody snowflakes, there was a reference to snowflake babies. Remember snowflake babies?
Oh, yes, yeah. Uh-huh.
The little frozen embryos.
Frozen,
that,
uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah.
Snowflake indeed.
Yeah, I bet they were, too, yeah.
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 No, it's a very good observation on your part, and I'm glad you brought it to the table, because there are always things that come into these considerations that don't necessarily originate in my mind, and this is part of why the conversation it works as well as it does.
Well, you know, at the beginning, the evangelicals were not opposed to abortion. That was a Catholic thing. They didn't much care. But the more I hear about America becoming browner, majority-minority country, the louder this anti-abortion stuff has gotten. And I don't know for a fact, but I have been paying some attention to where all the Planned Parenthood attacks on the facilities are. And you know they're never in the inner cities. They're in the white suburbs. So I just wonder whether that isn't behind some of that, too.
Oh, I don't think you can help but wonder. And of course, and the vast majority of this stuff is taking place in the stand states, because there are fewer clinics there. And for instance, Phil Bryant, the governor of Mississippi, has made it his stated goal to eliminate all abortions in the state of Mississippi.
Yeah, and Kansas has an awful lot of anti-abortion activists.
Oh, there's Looney Tunes in Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
But then again, it's worth remembering that Sweet Granny whatever her name was, that was out of Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah, right. Uh-huh. Well, I imagine there are a few that are trying to save babies, but I think an awful lot of them are trying to make sure that we have a bumper crop of white babies, because, you see, you take this baby, they don't want her to keep the baby. The baby has to be given for adoption. That's why there are no services, because she'll have a baby this year, and, well, you know, she's that type of girl, so she'll have another one next year. And so she's just a breeder for the white population of babies, so we don't need to provide mother care for and Head Start and all the rest, because the kids are going to white homes, middle-class homes. So we don't – it's – get the stigma back to where she is forced to give the baby up, because you see, girls are keeping their babies now, and that just runs totally counter to what the evangelicals' view of family is and should be. So you've got to force her to give the baby up. So anyway, enough said.
Well, that makes a ton of sense. Thank you so much, Marcia, and again, okay. I hope we'll talk soon.
Yeah, we probably will.
Okay, take care.
Yeah.
Bye now.
Bye bye.
Marcia calling from Western Oregon. And before that, Scott from Wisconsin. We're off and running with a pretty nice eclectic mix for the evening, about 16 minutes before the hour. And the thing in Mississippi, is anyone surprised? Now, in a moment, let me tell you, in a moment of sublime Christian mercy, the Mississippi Senate did manage to take out the criminal penalties for doctors who perform the procedure after 15 weeks. On the other hand, the rape and incest exception, that went down 33-16. So, no. Rape and incest, I mean, they've got a criminal penalty against rape, they got a criminal penalty against incest, but if a woman gets pregnant as a result of either one, she's got an entire penalty of her own that she has to pay. Because Jesus, you know, if somebody came from, you know, if one of those amorphous multi-limbed beings came from Norblap 9 and wanted to know what Jesus was all about, and all they had to look at was his followers, they'd be convinced pretty quick that Jesus was one mean little bastard. They might look back and go, well, you know, no wonder they, you know, nailed him up on a cross. Mean as he was. Yeah. All right, back to the phones.
To send a...
No, okay. For some reason or another, we're having problems with the toll-free line. Because this happened during the Malloy program, too. I don't know why it goes to some sort of voicemail, but let's just take the toll-free line as read and not functioning particularly well. If you want to get into the program, just dial direct 304-574-8178 or use Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, Bob Kincaid Horn, okay? Good. That makes, yeah. What else this evening? It is Titanic Tuesday, and we're never without the manifestations of Titanic intellect. This is a little interesting little breaking piece of information. Do you remember Deborah Gibson? Deborah Gibson was one of the women who credibly accused Roy Tola Moore of groping her when she was a young girl. Roy Tola, by the way, is passing the plate trying to raise $250,000 because they're down to their last million or so, and he doesn't want to actually pay for his own lawyers in the lawsuit against him that's been filed by another one of the women who he groped, who he sexually abused, yes. He's got a crowdfunding campaign out there, and somehow or another he's managed to raise $32,000 out of the $250,000 that he says he needs. So anyway, Deborah Gibson, who lives now in Florida, has announced that she's going to run for the Florida State Legislature as a Democrat. She issued a statement to the crowdfunding site CrowdPack. She said, there is a Chinese proverb that says women hold up half the sky, yet women do not hold 50% of the positions in state government in Florida. Coming off the sidelines for the first time politically seems a natural response to realizing that too many of us, particularly women, have felt that some special mysterious qualification was needed to participate in our democratic process as a candidate. She used to be a registered Republican, but says she doesn't feel at home there anymore. She said, the past 5 months have crystallized what's been coming to me for a decade more gradually. The Republican Party is no longer the right fit for me. I am proudly running as a Democrat. I've held numerous leadership positions throughout my life, from president of student clubs to president of professional organizations. So that will be an interesting race to follow. I mentioned earlier the Texas primary taking place today. And this is some fascinating, it's Texas, okay? See, if you look at a 2016 map of Texas, it looks like there's nothing but Republicans in Texas. It's not as true as the map would make it appear. You know, you've got a wide swath of blue down along the Gulf Coast and out to the west of the state, and there's a blue blob right there where Dallas is. And then everything else is red. Well, that's not entirely accurate. But over the last 2 weeks that early voting has been taking place in Texas, Democrats' early voting have far outnumbered Republicans. Now, these are only primaries. This sets the stage for what's going to happen in November. But with that in the background, there has been what appears to be record turnout today, as well. And this does not sit well with Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. You might recall that Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton narrowly dodged a felony rap recently, only through the good graces of a circuit judge who dismissed the case against him. He was busted for securities fraud, but the judge threw the case out. Here's what has him wrought. Schools in Texas, just get this, schools in Texas have encouraged students to vote. I know. Crazy. The very institutions that are charged with educating and making children into viable, productive members of society, as the saying goes, have been telling students that are 18 years old that they should go and vote. Some have even gone so far as to fill buses up with students and take them to polling places. Well, this is something up with which Ken Paxton, Attorney General of the state of Texas, will not put. Oh, no. He's accused these school districts of electioneering. Now, they're not taking kids to the polls and saying, now vote for the Democrat, children. They're not saying that. They're saying, you're eligible to vote. Vote. You're not living up to your obligations as citizens of the Republic if you don't vote. Let's be good citizens. Let's go vote. Don't care who you vote for. Care that you vote. Paxton has gone so far as to send cease and desist letters to school districts in Texas, accusing them of using taxpayer dollars, resources to distribute messages to their staff and the public advocating for or against certain political candidates and measures. Then he filed records requests for all emails between superintendents and principals pertaining to voting. Now, there's a wrinkle to all of this. And it goes back to the... Marty just sent me a note. Oh, my God, Bob! Whiskey Tango Foxtrot is going on in Texas. School districts encouraging eligible students to vote? No longer a civic duty to be taught. Well, you can teach them about it. Just don't encourage them to do it. Then they get all uppity and think that they're citizens or something. All emails between superintendents and principals pertaining to voting. Jesus. But like I said, there's a wrinkle. As a result of the civil rights movement, there's a law on the books in Texas which appears to be unique to Texas that says that school principals shall register their eligible students to vote. Shall. Requires them to. Gotta do it. Not if you want to. Gotta do it. It's sort of fallen by the wayside in this recent manifestation of Texas as white Republican wonderland. But it's still on the books. A school board member who was interviewed by the Dallas Morning News said, I don't know how it's become such a crazy thing unless people have an agenda for not wanting people to vote. Well, anonymous school board member, I think you kind of nailed it right there. Because in a changing America, Republicans can't win unless they can control and suppress the numbers of votes cast. Plain and simple. By the way, we're making a little headway on funding here with an hour and 4 minutes left in the program. And thank you very kindly to Charlie in Tennessee for stepping in alongside Charlene. We've now only got $140 to go in fundraising for the evening, so that's a really, really big deal. Thank you, Charlie. And Charlie just happens to be on the line. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, how's it going, Bob?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Well, did you hear about our governor of Tennessee today?
Your governor or the mayor of Nashville?
I'm sorry, the mayor of Nashville. I'm so sorry, yeah.
Yeah, it's a strange story. Fill us in, would you?
Well, I mean, she had a love affair going on with a police officer that was her personal bodyguard that was not her husband. And, you know, he kind of knocked down a bunch of overtime that really wasn't necessary because the mayor said this one person was, you know, had to pull all the bodyguard duty. So, you know, and now, I mean, they've
kind of gives a whole new definition to the idea of being a bodyguard, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm gonna guard it. Yeah, I'm gonna guard it real good.
So, you know, I think the mayor has to pay a fine, and I think it's around $11,000. And the police officer has to make restitution of about $45,000, I believe, for all his overtime.
Again, redefining the word overtime. Probably some undertime. Yeah. Maybe some sideways time. Maybe some standing up in front of the picture window time while we're at it. Sorry. It's a great story, and it's hard to resist this kind of commentary, Charlie.
But, yeah, it's, and you know what gets me, you know, along the same lines, I mean, we find out that Trump was making whoopee with a porn star, and you don't ever hear anything about it from the religious right, you know? It's kind of swept under the rug.
Right. Well, just remember, he's not perfect, just saved. That's how they get around that.
But, you know, I don't know. I just find it odd. You never do hear about Trump and Stormy, whatever her name was.
Yeah, that would be Stormy Daniels. Well, tell me, is the mayor of Nashville a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian, Republican?
That I don't know. I don't know that much about her. I live in Gallatin, and I really don't keep up. You know, I'd have to. It would be real close for me to get to Nashville if I had a motorboat and could go over Old Hickory Lake rather than around the roads. But around the roads, it's about 25 miles.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a poke from Gallatin, I know.
Yeah.
Mayor Megan Berry is her name. Oops, one-time rising star in the Democratic Party with big plans to remake Nashville, resigned today after pleading guilty to cheating the city out of thousands of dollars as she carried on an affair with her bodyguard. She had confessed to her extramarital relationship back in January. 54 years old, held a news conference just a little bit before she entered a plea in front of a judge. They both pleaded guilty to felony theft. They each got, but not to worry, they each got probation, Charlie.
Yeah, I think it's unsupervised probation, best I remember.
Yeah, she agreed to reimburse the city for $11,000. The bodyguard, a man named Robert Forrest, will give back $45,000.
And can we just say this? If a person, an ordinary person, had done something similar to that, would they have gotten 3 years of unsupervised probation?
I doubt it.
If that person was black, would they have gotten unsupervised probation, Charlie?
No, they'd have probably got life in prison or something. And that's another thing that torques me off about this country, you know. I hate to say it. I hate, you know, people, the right wingers might call me a racist, but, you know, whenever it comes to handing out sentences, black people get a whole lot tougher sentences than white people. I've seen it firsthand. I mean, I can honestly say that.
Well, it you don't have to look real hard. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sad that this woman was a rising star in Tennessee Democratic Party politics. But, well, then again, that also gives you a pretty good idea of why what happened happened. Had she been a Republican, you know how right wing radio is in the Nashville market. They would have leapt to her defense and talked about how much she loves Jesus and let that person who is without sin cast the first stone. But she wasn't any of those things, so, you know, she had to burn.
Oh, Del Giorno would have come unglued if she'd been a Republican.
This is a witch hunt. Yeah.
Pardon me?
It's a witch hunt. And what's her name? Diane Black and that other one that says goodness.
Marsha Blackburn.
Yeah, Marsha Blackburn. They would have all thrown up a solid Christian wall of defense around her, but she wasn't, so they didn't. I mean, you point up a pretty stirring. Pretty stirring contrast there. She'd had a tough row to hoe. Her child died last July of an overdose that included opioids, and that can strain any relationship. She says she's going to stay with her husband. Her husband says he's going to stay with her. But meanwhile, we have a president in the White House with five kids by three wives and at least four instances of adultery in his life, and yes, a payoff to a porn star to try to keep her from going public and talking about the time that she spanked him with a rolled-up copy of Forbes magazine.
I'll tell you what, if I ever met Trump face to face and he were to start this bull crap about how he respects women, I'd probably look at him and say, Mr. Trump, what are you smoking? Can I have some?
Well, the sad thing is, I wish he had that kind of an excuse, Charlie, but he doesn't.
No, he's just an asshole. And I can't see why the people that even the people that elected him, I mean, you know, even dumb people, just people that are flat stupid, eventually wake up and say, God, did I screw up? But they're not doing it now. And our country's going down the toilet. And, you know, it's going, this country is probably going to wind up something like, maybe some South American country that's ruled by a dictator, where a handful of people have everything and the rest of the people are starving.
I think that's the direction we're headed.
And I just, you know, I can't understand it. And, you know, I could see why some people would get snowed whenever Trump was running for president. But, my God, all you got to do is look back and see what he said when he was running for president and see what he's done so far. And the two don't match. I mean, how stupid do you have to be to figure out the man's a liar? I mean, this guy is, you know, he's a sociopath. Truth doesn't mean anything to him. He's a narcissist, you know. All you hear about is how great he is. And people just, I can't understand why they can't just wake up and
Charlie, that's the thing, my friend. They're wide awake. They want to be lied to.
Oh, well.
They enjoy it because it doesn't matter what he does as long as he continues to validate their own prejudices, their own biases, their own bigotries, their own hatreds, and, yes, their own ignorance. Now, the thing is, it might get real interesting here in a little bit if he does start this trade war that he's talking about. Now, granted, I think it was today, he said that the tariffs were going to be applied lovingly. Now, what that means, I don't know, Charlie. But...
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, help me out.
Well, I can remember back before the year 2000, back in the late 1990s, we weren't so wrapped up in other people's economies. We didn't have the globalist mentality that we have now. And in the late 1900s, the Asiatic economy, many of the countries in Asia, their economy just collapsed. And it didn't hurt us all that bad. But if that happened today, we'd have massive unemployment in this country.
Oh, I think China is, look, we've had trade relationships with Japan since we rebuilt the economy in the aftermath of World War II. We've had trade relationships with Germany and Western Europe in much the same way. But our biggest trading partners are Canada and Mexico.
Yeah.
And the idea of starting a trade war with Canada is so outrageously insane as to beggar the imagination.
Well, whenever I worked at Kelly Air Force Base back in the late 80s, you know, if the value of the dollar increased, it would just about take all these little shop owners under on the South Texas border with Mexico, because the Mexican sheep farmers could no longer afford to buy supplies from them.
Because of the devaluation of the peso, right?
Right. And because the dollar was overvalued or had more value than the peso did.
Well, make no mistake, Charlie. Donald Trump would like nothing better than to collapse the economies of Mexico and Canada, because then he feels like he could dictate terms. And the Republicans would love it in Canada, as far as Canada is concerned, because then maybe Canada would be forced to stop having universal health care, which would thrill the Republicans to death, because they wouldn't have to hear about how Canada had better health care delivery than we do, because that drives them crazy, because it's true.
Well, I'll tell you what, I would like to see sometime, and this may sound a little bit cruel, but it'll be the only way to straighten things out, is to see literally one of these Republicans that's against the Affordable Health Care Act just to get eaten alive with something like cancer. And, you know, and the Affordable Health Care Act, you know, is no longer in place, and he or she would just have to die.
Well, it's not going to happen to any prominent Republicans because they're rich and they can afford it.
Oh, right, right.
And yeah. if it just happens to everyday Trump pansies, everyday maggots, the Republican hierarchy could not care less. And so they'll just die in ignominious misery. So either way, the Republicans feel the Republicans win.
Yeah, you're right, and that's a shame that it's like that, but that's the way it is.
So, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. No, go ahead. No, sorry.
No, I was merely going to point out, you know, it's a matter of, at this point in time, of watch this space.
Yeah.
Because something, unless, I mean, I've seen, heard where some people are predicting that the whole tariff trade war thing will just disappear like fog in a rising sun as quick as the Western PA election is over. But that's a whole lot of faith to be putting in something, and the fact that Gary Cohn bailed out today tells me that he thinks Trump is deadly in earnest about it, and he didn't want his fingerprints or it. You know, they'd stop speaking to him at the yacht club and the tennis club and the country club and stuff where he goes if he stuck around and sat still for all that bullshit.
Yeah,
because it will be ugly. It'll have some short-term gains for a very limited number of people. But, for instance, we tend to talk in terms of steel coming from China. Guess where else it comes from, Charlie? And a lot of it. Brazil.
Probably Brazil. Canada.
Brazil.
Oh, okay.
And Brazil is the largest net importer of American metallurgical coal. And we don't have the steelmaking infrastructure to make up for whatever coal Brazil doesn't buy. And Brazil, meanwhile, can just look across the Andes to places like Colombia where they mine the hell out of coal. And so, cars, food, jet engines, anything that uses steel. And let's remember, there's basically no domestic beer brewing left. Anheuser-Busch and Miller are owned by international consortiums. So the aluminum tariff, it can only hurt. And again, the capacity is not there. If you started yesterday trying to ramp up American steel production to the levels where American steel could provide all the needs of American manufacturing, you'd be 2 years, 5 years out from being able to do that. And God forbid we should ever get in a real live, honest-to-God shooting war where we had to manufacture things out of steel and needed aluminum on, you know, a grand scale, say, like World War II. We'd just have to sign the surrender papers and have done. Because with the Great Depression, the steel mills were idled, but they were still here. Now they aren't. This is a different time. And if you wanted to point to a way in which Trump, in service to Russia, could monumentally weaken this country's position, the trade war is it. Because, among other things, it will drive a humongous wedge between us and some of our nearest and dearest allies.
Oh, yeah.
So, like I said, watch this space.
Well, The only thing that bothers me is there used to be a guy up in up at WHAS whenever I lived in Kentucky, and I worked at J.P. Morgan Chase, and he was spouting out on the radio that people had a constitutional right to trade with foreign countries. And I called him one day and I told him, I said, no, that's not true. The only reason that we have a right to trade with foreign countries is because of the treaties that were ratified by the Senate.
Yep.
So, I don't know. People just don't seem to realize how things work.
Well, some don't realize, but where the maggots are concerned, Charlie, they don't care. I just got a note from Terrace a little bit ago, and he said, Dumpster has done everything he said he would, and the Trumpanzees couldn't be happier. So,
well, let me get off here and let somebody
right.
else have
Again, the floor. Charlie, thank you for helping out this evening. That was big, and we do appreciate it.
Okie doke. Thank you. Keep
right.
up the good work.
Later. Bye now. It's our buddy Charlie calling from Tennistan. And, okay, I don't think the toll-free number is going to work. Let's see if it did.
To send a...
Nope. Toll-free number, no work. So if you're trying to call in on the toll-free number, you're never going to get through. Sorry. It's not working this evening. Instead, you need to just dial straight through 304-574-8178. 304-574-8178. Or use Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. Okay. James, meanwhile, with a bit of a correction, we have the mills, he says. The factories are gone. How about the furnaces? Because, well, I just remember looking at that big empty place where the silicon furnaces my father worked on had been disassembled and shipped to China. Oh, lovely. It's going to be a little bit brisk this evening. And my coal-burning neighbors have apparently fired up the furnace, speaking of furnaces. And it smells like it smells a little like Pittsburgh circa 1912 in here right now. And that's not a pleasant thing. Thank you, Scott and Punky, regarding Ignominious Misery. Great band name. Oh, I know. It's got to be. All right. Apparently, all right, we'll try it.
Mail?
No. The toll-free number, 844-843-4676, still doesn't work. So I appreciate you trying to get to the program that way, but it's not going to get you into the program. That's something we're going to have to work on after the program. So, there we go. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know who's trying to get in on it. If you're listening to the program, it doesn't work. 304-574-8178 is what you're going to have to dial if you want in. And I hate for people to try to call the program and not be able to get in. So that's why I keep repeating myself. James following up says, the U.S. Steel Gary, Indiana works are massive and held together by rust. Does that even qualify as a steel mill anymore as opposed to a rust collection? I don't know. Like I said, between Charlie and Charlene, we've knocked down $60 of fundraising for this evening. That means we've got 140 more to go to stay even through this far into March. It would be great if we could do that in the next 40 minutes. $140, two at 70, four at 35, eight at 1750. After that, it gets painful. Can we? How about new subscribers? More subscribers. Because ultimately, the goal is a simple one. 400 people at $10 a piece. We're about a quarter of the way there. We don't have 100 subscribers. We just have a few people who do a little more than that, than $10. But there we go. Another bad day for Donald Trump. They all are, I guess. Stormy Daniels, otherwise known by her name Stephanie Clifford, is going to sue Dimwit Donnie. Her suit papers say, "To be clear, the attempts to intimidate Ms. Clifford into silence and shut her up in order to protect Mr. Trump continue unabated. On or about February 27, 2018, Mr. Trump's attorney, Mr. Cohen, surreptitiously initiated a bogus arbitration proceeding against Ms. Clifford in Los Angeles." Here's a weird part. The suit refers to Donald Trump as David Dennison. Wow. We've got a president with aliases. Another first. Thomas Jefferson, a.k.a. D. Tracy, wearing galoshes. Meanwhile, other members of the sex industry are suggesting that other workers in the porn industry may have their own Donald Trump stories to tell. In the lawsuit she's filed, Stormy Daniels seeks relief in L.A. County Superior Court. She wants the court to hold that the hush money agreements, quote, were never formed and therefore do not exist because, among other things, Mr. Trump never signed the agreements. Michael Cohen, meanwhile, is pissing and moaning about the fact that he shelled out $130,000 and, well, Tangerine Tiberius stiffed him. Yeah. You get the idea that things are just getting more and more, and from the bizarre tweet department, this should probably become a feature. Earlier today, he got loose with his phone again. And fully 2 days after the Oscars, Marcus Aurelius was blathering about them. Again, 2 days later. It was 12 hours ago when he tweeted, "Lowest rated Oscars in history. Problem is, we don't have stars anymore, except your president. Just kidding, of course." He's one spirochete away from being Nora Desmond. Back then we had faces, Max, faces. Big orange faces and tiny orange hands, and we were called Oompa Loompas. Beats me. For the most part, he's just trolling. By the way, that tweet came through during executive time. Daily Beast reported today that the aforementioned Michael Cohen, back on, earlier in the year, he was leaked confidential information on the Russia probe. Now, here's the thing. If, as these twee precious denialists hold, there's nothing to the Russia probe, why is information about it being surreptitiously leaked to one of Donald Trump's lawyers? Anybody? Bueller? Bueller? Some people working on the committee investigation may be trying to covertly assist one of the president's closest allies when the president's inner circle is ostensibly a focus of their probe. I don't know. This is one of those things that makes the whole there's nothing to it just a little hard to give any credence to. I know. And speaking of denialists, the Cobb County, Georgia, chairman of the Republican Party has been pushing a video that says that the Parkland shooting was fake. Republican Party, it's what they do. GOP, Georgia, Cobb County GOP Vice Chairman Michael Davis shared a video on Facebook that makes the claim that the Valentine's Day massacre at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School never happened. That 17 people aren't really dead. When the Cobb County GOP got called on that salacious, hateful bullshit, Jason Shepard, who is the chair of the Cobb County, Georgia GOP, said, maybe 11 Alive should focus on the fact that these so-called student-led protests are anything but, with left-winged organizations from the ACLU to the SCLC just in Cobb County, when it opens the door legally for outside political organizations using students to disrupt the school day, when the U.S. is already ranked near the bottom in education among industrialized nations. If a school district opens the door to one, then under equal protection, they must allow any group of students to stage walkouts. What will this do to education in America?
What, Edith, huh?
See, it wouldn't be very difficult to say, well, this is some seriously salacious bullshit that we want nothing to do with, and we disavow the content of the video, and we disavow the right-wing maggot freak who, but wait, we're all right-wing maggot freaks, so we can't do that. So instead, I'm gonna piss and moan about the ACLU and the SCLC. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. I hope to God there really is a blue wave coming. I can't tell you how much I hope that to be the case. I hope maybe Texas is an indication of it. It will be interesting to see what kind of numbers Beto O'Rourke gets out of the Texas primary versus the number of maggots who come crawling out from behind the baseboards to go and vote for Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a really long time. That would be interesting. Yeah. All right, 28 minutes before the hour, Jim has something to say. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you doing?
It's a great day to be a West Virginian, Jim, isn't it?
If you say so, I agree. Listen, I was kind of drifting there. Sometimes I do, and I heard you make some type of reference to our fearless leader's latest produce, the IBM. So what did he just say about the Academy Awards?
He said that there aren't any. It's too bad there aren't any stars anymore. Just your president. Just kidding.
Now, you got to be kidding me. Did he really say that?
Yep. I read it directly from his Twitter timeline.
Well, you just hit me with a verbal cataprod, but I thought I heard what you said, and I said, oh, no. And he really believes that shit, too.
March 6, 2018, at 8:25 a.m., at Real Donald Trump tweeted, lowest rated Oscars in all caps, history. Problem is, we don't have stars, capital S stars. He capitalizes nouns like he thinks it's German or something. Problem is, we don't have stars anymore, except your capital P president, paren, just kidding, of course, close paren, exclamation point.
Just kidding, my ass. I'll tell you one thing right now, that fool better realize that he won't, the trouble is, he thinks he's ready for his close-up. But he never will be, except for something in a horror movie.
Well, the funny thing is, he doesn't always tweet his own stuff. But if it happens between say 4:30 a.m. and 10 a.m. or so, that's generally really him.
He's up and going.
The Spire Keats can't even keep it together anymore, Jim, because the delicious irony of him tweeting about the lowest rated Oscars in history, and it was just the lowest rated in the last 20 years, is of course the fact that he is the lowest rated president in history.
Well,
Franklin Pierce, who couldn't find sobriety with a guide dog.
Hey, Barbara.
Thank you. You know, yeah. Franklin Pierce's daughter, Barbara Bush. He was drunk every day of his presidency. James Buchanan was not at all loved. Martin Van Buren was not exactly, the superstar.
No.
Donald Trump has the lowest ratings of any president in history. And he's complaining about
around 30.
Yeah, thereabouts.
Oh, God. Listen, about last night, I didn't mean to be contentious about
that. Oh, you weren't at all. No, that's fine. You've got nothing to apologize for.
Because I couldn't agree with you more about cannabis. I was just trying to picture, you know, really becoming a reality. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you're right. It's not. It's not gonna. It's so easy and so clearly the right thing to do, that renders it functionally impossible for this gang of booger-eating friends of Jesus Republicans to do. They couldn't do the right thing if it was the only choice on a multiple-choice test.
Well, don't those fools realize that our own Constitution, our own Declaration of Independence, was written upon paper made from that stuff?
Well, it was written on parchment. That's vellum. That's lambskin. But
I'm sure they use it.
Well, but then again, paper. Then again, hemp is not cannabis. Hemp, you could set fire to a small mountain of hemp and never get high. Cannabis is a specific subspecies, but we do have the fact that George Washington, who was a scientific farmer for his day,
he grew it in Mount Vernon,
and he segregated the males from the females. And you only need to do that if you intend to get some relief from the pain caused by them wooden tufuses.
Mm-hmm. You know, people just don't realize that that's one of the oldest medications in the pharmacopoeia. It is.
Sure.
It had medicinal uses for pain.
I've even read, and I don't know if it's true or not. It could be, you know, just myth. But I've read some people saying that, that verse in the 23rd Psalm where it says, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over," yada, yada.
Right.
I've heard it said that the anointing oil that was used for the ancient kings of Israel and Judah was cannabis-based.
Well, yeah, no doubt. And, you know, let some of these idiots who don't believe its efficacy as a real legitimate drug, let them have chemo one time. And see what they'll think about that.
Well, see, let's just examine things for a minute, Jim. If the pharmaceutical industry could genetically modify like one gene in cannabis, just one, and still have it be cannabis, and then patent that genetic manipulation, and then sell it as a branded product and have patent protection on it, they'd be all kinds of behind legalized cannabis, as long as it was their cannabis.
No, that's true, too.
The reason that's there's no true. Interest in it from a pharmaceutical standpoint is because there's no money in it. Not for the pharmaceuticals. Now, there's a ton of money in it from a recreational perspective and even from a medicinal standpoint.
Well,
but there's,
of course there
but there,
is.
But there's no money in it for Merck or Mylan or Pfizer or any of those bastards,
yeah.
Because they can't. They only make money on what they can sell that is proprietary to them.
Exactly. Pfizer is particularly vociferous about this.
Yeah.
And they were the worst of all the companies.
Jim, I have to tell you, I got to thinking about it. I've been thinking a lot about it over the last few days. We're going to have to work on a modification for the design of the stirrup pump aquarium, stirrup aquarium pump powered pong, because we're going to have to come up with some way to make it useful for oils and waxes.
Hmm.
Because, like, when our medical marijuana law goes into effect in 2019, even people with a medical marijuana card in West Virginia are not going to be able to smoke weed. You're not going to be able to go down to the dispensary and get an ounce of orange Tootsie Roll Kush or whatever and take it home and blaze up. You'll only be able to get it in pill form, tincture form, oil form, that sort of thing, which is a sort of a little nod to the pharmaceutical industry, thinking that maybe they can figure out to make a dollar that way because, you know, they're so broke. But we're going to have to, but you can't just put oil in a bong or a water pipe and have it go. No, you've got to, there's a thing called a nail and there's glass involved. So we're going to have to modify the design so that you can use oils and waxes in there.
Well, that is indeed a noble a noble ambition and a worthy task, that's for sure. I never thought about that.
It's gonna it could be bigger than indoor plumbing, I'm telling you, Jim.
You're probably right, Bob. My God, I've been looking for some old papers and stuff because at one time I actually remember drawing out a sketch for that thing.
Oh my God, that could be the beginning of the patent process.
But we're talking about 1978 or something like that. Back during the real good days of lots of good times and things.
And things get forgotten along the way in those good times, don't they?
I remember in '78 some of the stuff that was coming up. I was thinking, oh boy, these are not easy times. And I thought to myself the other day, oh, God, if only I could get in a time machine and go back. Really? Good Lord. That's just absolutely nuts. But for him to say something like that, that's just... I don't know. I just don't know.
So do we give him a Nora Trumpman? That doesn't roll off the tongue, does it?
No.
Donald Desmond. There we go. Donald Desmond.
Yep. Norma Desmond.
I'm ready for my close-up, Max.
You know, speaking of Gloria Swanson, she was a real devotee of macrobiotics and being a vegetarian. I mean, she was born like in the late 1880s and then died in 1883. And she was pretty active in doing all kinds of stuff.
Well, she was
had about 19 husbands.
She was a magnificent actress.
Joe Kennedy. She talked about Joe Kennedy and her having sex, and she said, they asked her how it was, and she said, I don't know. It happened before he got in the room.
Yeah. Now, are we talking about Old Man Joe or the one who didn't survive the
old
war?
Old Man Joe.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, he got together with her, I think it was Cosmopolitan Pictures, and he was promising her all kinds of big money if she just hook up with him and invest with him. And guess who got left holding the bag of nothing? She did. He screwed her out about millions of dollars. That was two books have been written about that situation. I read.
Oh, that's like the old lawyer joke about two lawyers walking down the street and they look across the street and they see someone very appealing and sexually attractive and one lawyer looks at the other and says, "Man, I'd like to screw that." And the other lawyer says, "Yeah, out of what?"
Yeah, really. I'm afraid the new priesthood or the old priesthood of our law people. It does not have a very good reputation as far as doing what's right as opposed to doing what's wrong.
Well, there aren't just a whole lot of Atticus Finches out there anymore.
No, they're not. Well, has Trump done anything else today? I mean, didn't that guy finally, who said that he was going to quit or not quit, didn't he finally leave?
Oh, Gary Cohn? Yeah, he bailed out. He stood in there and like a team player while Trump was praising Nazis, but by God, a trade war? Oh, that was a bridge too far.
Well, he says he's going to, ameliorate that to a certain degree. How, I don't know. But
now, Jim, we've been talking together far too long for you to start not lying now. There is no way Donald Trump used the word ameliorate.
Well, I mean, I used that, not him. It just came to mind, but
He thinks ameliorate is something that Amelia does to him when he's got his pants down.
Oh, God, talk about something that would definitely put you off your food. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I happened to see last weekend a picture of him bounding up the stairs of Air Force One, and his poor wife was just left at the foot of the
in gale force winds.
Yeah, I mean he could have blown the poor thing over.
He had to bail on up the steps before the wind caught his hair and blew him into the Potomac.
Yeah, that's exactly what he was doing. I got a close up today of his hair.
You poor man.
It isn't really hair. It is hair, but it's not hair. I call it anti-hair. Because, I mean, it looks like something that's been so treated, so colored, and so teased, and so blown, and so Van de Graaff generatorized. Whatever you want to call
it. If he was female, he'd be one of them Pentecostal ladies with her hair done up to Jesus.
Well, he better not step under any Ferris wheels if he goes to one of those fairs, because somebody might drop a lit cigarette on his head, and it would go up like a bomb.
I was thinking he probably doesn't ride in open, like convertibles.
Oh, no.
That one actress's, his hair could turn out to be like that one actress's scarf.
Yeah, 12-inch frames. No, I actually saw at a county fair a woman, you remember in the 60s before your time, but these women used to get their hair all stacked up on their heads in a beehive and used to puff about 80 pounds of hot air in there and lacquer it down. And some guy, really, I saw this, was on a Ferris wheel and dropped a lit cigarette in this woman's head, and it caught on fire, and they had to put her out. That stuff was it was just like tinder. It wasn't hair. Real hair, if it's treated and taken care of properly, is gorgeous. It's beautiful fabric. It really is. But with him, it doesn't look like he, I don't know. It's just the most irritating looking thing in the world. And those sideburns, when he has a whisk back, that ducktail type thing, and apparently he hadn't had enough color recently because it was like a charcoal gray that looked particularly nasty. Yeah, I'm being tacky and just bitchy about that.
Well, what's life without a little catty, Jim?
But he's such a star, and excuse me, I would like to just ask you one thing. Do you think that prosecutor will ever get to the point where he can say the jig is up?
I think that's what he's working on. In fact, I think the whole Sam Nunberg thing yesterday was born of the fact that Mueller probably has already, just guessing from how prosecutors behave, Mueller probably already has everything that he wants from Sam Nunberg, but he wants to be able to verify it from multiple sources, because the more verification you have, the more likely it is. Well, I mean, that's why it's verification that makes it more likely to be true.
Exactly.
And they could be zeroing in on Roger Stone. I mean, we're talking about a guy with a tattoo of Richard M. Nixon on his back, okay? If you've never seen it, go on Netflix and watch Get Me Roger Stone. It's valuable in terms of understanding why we are where we are.
Oh, wow. God, he'd make a great lampshade, wouldn't he?
When you see Ronald Reagan standing in front of a banner that says "Make America Great Again," a lot of shit'll come proper for you.
Could you please elucidate?
Well, no, I mean, just watch it. There's a continuous line that extends unbroken from Roger Stone's Nixon days to Donald King Trump.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I see what you mean. Excuse me.
And it's, I presume you've got Netflix, so, you know.
As you would say, I'll have to summon that up, or what is the word you use, conjure it up.
Yeah, just conjure a little bit. Maybe sprinkle some holy Johnny Walker around the computer or something, but you'll get it.
It's just amazing to me how these people were able to achieve the offices they have achieved and the damage within a very short space, less than a year and a half.
Well, honest to God, Jim, I mean, you worked in the Forbidden City. You know how some of this stuff goes. If you were Vladimir Putin and you wanted somebody, or you wanted to break up the alliance, the NATO, for all intents and purposes, the NATO alliance, would there be any better way than what's been going on for the last 11 months?
No. Mm-mm, not at all. Not at all. I remember when, during the early days of NATO, Stalin was still in power. And he said, well, if this is such a great organization, why haven't I been asked to join it? He did say that.
Yeah.
I mean, Mr. Putin is just a very deadly person. I mean, you've got those two people in Great Britain. How are they doing, the ones that were poisoned?
Critically ill. Turns out the younger woman was his daughter. And they still don't know what the substance was. And a full-on emergency was declared by the hospital. And apparently one other person, if I read the story right, one other person who had some exposure to them is him or herself now in hospital.
I mean, I've heard maybe it might be polonium or something like that. But do you remember the guy who was running against him, or he was not exactly in Putin's camp, who was at a dinner, and he received this special dinner or whatever, and before he could even drive home, he was getting sick, and that man, they took him to Switzerland, and his face was so disfigured, and he came within just a millimeter of death, and I can't remember his name. But it was just hard. But the Swiss doctor finally found out what it was. It could have been ricin. I don't know. But it made that man so sick and disfigured him so horribly. He still, if you look at him today and compare a brief illness picture, you can still see that it's him. But he certainly looks a lot better than what he was when he was real sick. I mean, they have a variety of poisons over there that are just dreadful. I mean, you know, back in the days of the Cold War, we all heard about the special umbrellas, in which they could just take an umbrella and shoot something smaller than the head of a pin into an adversary. Like they did. One of them was a Bulgarian official who had defected, and one of the KGB operatives popped him while walking down the street in London with an umbrella. And it killed him. I believe it killed him.
There are, I think, four pretty notorious cases of people, of former Soviet or Russian whistleblowers, spies, what have you, being poisoned in the UK. There are four of them going back to 1978, and 1978 was the polonium umbrella thing.
Oh, that was dreadful. And the entry was so small, they couldn't find it at first. I mean, they had to go over this guy with microscopes. Yeah, I think they found a spot on his, maybe his upper arm or something like that.
Jason tells me that Viktor Yushchenko was poisoned with 2,3,7,8 tetrachlorodiphenyldioxin. And I'm mighty proud of being able to just read that.
Oh, boy. And he literally whips the tortures of the damned. He really did. Oh, God. I mean, I saw that, they were releasing photographs of him when he was in hospital.
Look, I know you know your Russian history. We've joked and everything and talked seriously about it. When the Russians do something like that, they don't just do it to be getting it done. I mean, it would be just as easy to go up and put
right
two bullets
in the head.
Two bullets in the back of the head. I mean, right. One man's nightshirt's another man's 32 caliber slug.
Mm-hmm.
These things are
right,
done. True. These things are done, Jim, to send a
message.
And they're not just sending messages to anybody back in Mother Russia who might be thinking about spilling the beans.
Mm-mm.
It's a message to the West that they can get through and that they can act with impunity.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's
so
like the mafia. They'll get to anybody.
Our friend Lauren, who is the special horn correspondent for the Frozen Wastes of Alberta, sent me a note saying that she thought it was a little tinfoil hatty of me to say that maybe Sam Nunberg got a little nervous yesterday on account of the story of the poisoned Russian spy. And it might be. I freely acknowledge that. But something like that is not done in such a way so as to not be noticed. It is noticed. And they have a pattern and practice of doing these sorts of things.
Yeah, well, I think he definitely has some motivation there.
And remember, this particular guy, do you remember that redheaded, that beautiful redheaded Russian spy from the early part of this century, and we busted her? And well, he was part of the swap of that. We sent back a whole bunch of sleeper cell spies in return for this guy and a couple of others. And it was mostly a U.S. operation, but in the case of this guy, he had been on the payroll of MI6.
Okay.
And they apparently went and bumped him off. And I don't, we got to get out of here, but I don't understand for the life of me, Jim, these people who blather on and on about there's nothing to the Russia story, and Russia is innocent, and Russia is blameless, and Russia would never do this, and Vladimir Putin is as innocent as a newborn baby lamb. I don't get it, and I guess that'll be the final word tonight.
Well, I have one word for all that bullshit. That's about all you can say. There's a bunch of bullshit.
Seems like to me.
There it is.
All right, Jim, you have yourself a good evening.
Likewise.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Our buddy Jim calling from not too far from here. And thus are we at the end of the program. We finished the program $140 away from finishing the fundraising goal for this evening. It would be awfully nice if you're listening to this as a podcast or listening now or whatever. And you can. It would be awfully nice to clear this up so we don't have a $340 fundraising goal at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow evening. But that's the program. And back for prayer meeting Wednesday. Okay. Thanks again to Charlie and Charlene for taking a bite out of the fundraising this evening. Thank you so very much. Thanks to everybody who keeps this program going. It exists solely because of you. I wish I was independently wealthy and could just do this all on my own. I can't. And your determination is what makes sure that it continues to happen. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in the program, however you choose so to do. Hey, thanks to new callers this evening. Thank you. Thanks, Scott, and thanks, Marcia. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa for HeadOn.live. Thank you very kindly to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.